Our text is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 20 to verse 30. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at that day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. When Jesus began his public ministry at the age of 30, he naturally started out from his own hometown, Nazareth. But as the Cantonese saying goes, local ginger is not hot. He received little response, even from his own family. The fact is, they, being familiar with him, they were contemptible of him. So Jesus chided them once again in the words of their own language. A prophet has no honor except, in his own country. And truly the people and led him to the brow of a hill, trying to trap him and to push him down and kill him. But Jesus, being the Son of God, before the time comes, he cannot be hurt, and he outpaced his persecutors and left his hometown northeastwards to the Sea of Galilee, where he came and settled in the town of Capernaum. Today, if you visit the Holy Land, when you come to the ruins of Capernaum, there will be the sign to greet you, this is Jesus' city. So Capernaum is mentioned here. But along with Capernaum, two other cities are chosen to be deeply denounced, namely Chorazin and Bethsaida. Chorazin, we have not heard it before, except mentioned here. But there was an early church father by the name of Saint Jerome, who visited the Holy Land about the 4th century. And he identified the place to be about 2 miles from Capernaum. And then finally, Bethsaida. Bethsaida means house of fish. Beth is house. House of fish, the hometown of Peter and Andrew. And they had a fishing business, they had boats and nets and so forth. And also of Philip, another one of the disciples. All these towns had received the most, I should say, of Jesus' ministry. Of course, there were those who were saved, who believed. But the leaders of the towns, the Jewish church leaders, the scribes, the theologians, and the Pharisees, caused the people to reject Jesus Christ on the whole. To prove the point, let us go back to our study of Matthew earlier. Once there was a man of paralysis being carried on a bed by 4 men to Jesus. And because the house was so crowded with people, they could not find entry into the house. So they went by the staircase outside, and they broke the roof open and let this man, this paralytic, down to the very front of Jesus. Jesus said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." At once, the Jewish church leaders rebutted in the hearts, "Who is man to forgive sins? For only God can forgive sins." But Jesus, knowing the thoughts in their hearts, said to them, "Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say to this man, rise up and walk? Now to prove you that the Son of Man on earth has power to give sins, rise up and walk." And the man got up and went back to his house. But the Jews persisted in the proud unbelief. That's where we have our title today, "The Proud Go Down, but the Humble Go Up." They resisted the Lord. At every point of any miracle that was done by the Lord, they would try to give another answer. So, on another occasion when Jesus Christ cast out devils from a certain person, these Jews at once said, "Oh, yeah, he cast out devils, but he did it by the prince of devils." They would not admit that it was a work of the Holy Spirit. They tried to put Jesus in a bad light. He cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Which brought Jesus to give them the severest sentence. They who talk bad of the Son of Man, their sins will be forgiven. But when they talk contrary to the truth, they know the truth, and they speak against the witness of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, then they have committed the unpardonable sin. Their sins will not be forgiven. So that's why Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, these places where most of the miracles were done, but many of them were rejected by the Jews. And they influenced the crowds. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, refers to Jesus when he was in Nazareth. He could not do much of the miracles because they rejected him. It's the same situation. Now, this morning we will study between the nature of sins. The sins that are committed in the flesh because of our weaknesses, because of the lust of the flesh, like womanizing and drinking, getting drunk, and doing many bad things according to the flesh. If we realize our sins and we humbly come before Him, as later on this is offered to the people, we will be saved. But the sin of the spirit is 10 times worse than the sins of the flesh. According to my teacher, Dr. Chai Ming in China, this will become the unpardonable sin. I would add to this description of this type of sin, not only it's a spiritual sin, it is an intellectual sin. If you become so proud and you do not bow down to the work of Jesus, Jesus many times challenged them, "If you don't believe me, you can find the truth in my miracles." But the Jews will never admit that Jesus' miracles were from God. Then you will die in your sins. Let us check up with ourselves. I told you I had a friend in the Johnson Revival, and I thought he was one of the very faithful ones, but after 7 or 8 years during the Japanese regime, I visited him. He said, "Oh, Jesus is not only a man, a prophet at most. I don't believe him to be the Son of God. Can I entertain such a report as this today that there is someone here who rejects Jesus, like the Jewish leaders, those who blaspheme against the Holy Spirit? There may not be one here, but there are plenty hidden, like as the Jewish leaders were blaspheming Jesus, also in the church today." It is a very sorry commentary to tell you why there are so many coming to Farrison Bible College, because those who come and then they left and they came again, they confess, "Here we have the pure teaching, believing teaching of the Word of God." But one by one of the seminaries and Bible colleges in the West, in USA, has fallen, including a branch from my own school, Faith Seminary, and one of our students who goes there to study because there is a connection with me. He says half of the professors now there don't believe what the Bible says. And they will bring out their superior knowledge of science, and we can must dovetail it into science. And science keeps on revising itself. The earth is 5 billion years old, the earth is 6 billion. They can change the number of years in a matter of a few years. And so, this creeps into our church. And I refer to the BP denomination, which is about 60 congregations now in Singapore alone and 20 in Malaysia. It's no more a small church, but it's a big denomination. And over 12 or 13 years ago, some of the leaders of a group of four churches got together and they say, we will not use a King James Bible because of its old English. And yet it's the most easy to understand. We will change to the New International Version, the NIV, because it's more readable in modern English. But there are those who know and those who do not know. It is based not on the traditional text on which King James Bible is based, but on the corrupt text of Westcott and Hort. Now, Westcott and Hort are very famous. All those who go to school will know they are the people who changed from the King James Bible to their modern version. And this is what Westcott and Hort has done. They have taken out about 10,000 words of the Bible, changed them, substitute them, take them away. And three famous passages of the Bible, they declare they are not in the Bible. First of all, it's a woman taken in adultery and Jesus pardoned her. I say this is the most magnanimous piece of good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who also pardons us of all our sins. But he says, go and sin no more. The last 12 verses of St. Mark, chapter 16, they say it's not in the scripture. And that is one verse that teaches the Holy Trinity, Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, they conveniently twist it and leave it out because it is a small verse. You cannot find it in the NIV. And so, these four churches or so that group together and change from the King James to the NIV, they were the first rift in our church. After 1 or 2 or 3 years, there comes another young leader with a degree from a big university in England. He suggests that we must be kind to the charismatics. And in fact, we agree that their speaking in the tongues is meaningful, ecstatic utterances. We know that as foreign languages, according to the Greek word, glossa means word. So in the BB church, comes in younger leaders, full of knowledge, but of the wrong kind, high degrees, like the Jewish leaders of Jesus' time, and they reject the truth. And so, since 1988, the split was final, and the synod of the BP Church, that is a general assembly, where all the pastors and elders met, became dissolved. Someone has approached me and he said, you and your brother, while you are here, would be able to draw the BB churches that are of the same faith together. I said, no, I don't see that there is any improvement Because in the fragmentation, there are other younger leaders who come up. And they declare our doctrines are not like the doctrines of Timothy 2. I do not want to set myself as a standard, but we founded the BB Church on a very strong foundation to declare that we believe every word of God in the Bible, infallible and inerrant, and what the Bible says, we say. But they have another way of interpretation by saying we must marry to science, and then if it agrees with science, then it will be okay. Another thing that they call science is called evolution. Darwin began to teach this not too long ago in 1859. Then how does man come? Man comes from the ape and the ape man. And they teach us the gospel truth. They have to believe it. Even our young people going to take their A-level examination, the O-level examination, have to abide by this rule that evolution is truth. And when you try to marry the words of Jesus, the words of the Bible, to all this pseudo-science, false science, then trouble starts. But we pray that the founders of the BB Church and younger leaders who have taken the same position, particularly those who have now come on the faculty of the Far Eastern Bible College, and I'm very thankful that we have young leaders who are zealous for the faith, who will guard the integrity of our faith. We need your prayers very much for the pastors, faculty, teachers in the highest level in the Bible College, that we may be vigilant. Now, the trouble with all these troubles in the church that involve their intellectual sins has happened to our friends, our closest friends, their children. And as far as the flesh is concerned, we don't like to have any altercation or controversy with them. We tend to forget about it or let it go for friendship's sake. This will be disloyalty to Jesus. This will be not doing our duty. So the Apostle Jude exhorts us in Jude verse 3 and 4 that we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are men who have crept in unawares, who are of old condemned with their damnable doctrines. Freedom is eternal vigilance, is one of Dr. McIntyre's famous sayings. We must be always on the watch out, like the prophet Ezekiel was called a watchman. And if we do not sound the alarm when subtle attacks comes in, truly our church will be gone. But thank God for the humble. And here we come to the second point of our message. The proud go down and the humble go up. So here Jesus says, thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, all this with high intellect, but they don't see the truth. For example, one of the doctrines taught by some of these young leaders is that the ages of the patriarchs, that they live up to 930 years like Adam, and they don't believe that men live up to that high age. And then they say, if you make them in the months, divide by 12, then that's about right, 70, 80 years old. But those who are not found out the truth have an Achilles heel, or like the monkey god who has got a tail. And the monkey god can change himself into 72 times, but the tail is always wriggling, cannot be changed, and you'll be observed. So we ask them a question: if they were 930 months old, then how about Enoch, who was 65 years old and he begat Methuselah? So he would be just about 5 years old when he had a son. They could not resist the truth. So why am I harping on this theme time and again? Eternal vigilance is a price of freedom. Because the Bible says you must earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. These intellectual giants, so called, cannot see the truth, but those who are only babies, but reveal them unto babes. How wonderful it is! Those who come humbly to the Lord Jesus Christ, as Jesus said, except your faith be like that of a child. Unless with a simple childlike faith, we shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And thank God, we have the childlike faith. Members of this church, as long as you say, I believe the Bible, and truly you believe, and you repeat what the Bible says, you'll be all right. And by childlike, simple faith, the leaders of the BP Church have believed, and we declare as it is written in the Word. Another of the bright sparks of these intellectuals, after they read the whole Genesis account and after reading 2 Peter chapter 3 about the flood, they say it's only a local flood. Again, they give the scientific interpretation, so-called, that we believe with all our heart. By believing it's a local flood, we take away the glory of God, because he declared it was a global flood, not a local flood. So we who humble ourselves, the Lord Jesus Christ from there, so he says to us, he offers us his salvation, full and free, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, with all your many frustrations, with all your many burdens, I will then give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. The Son of God himself is humble. He speaks the people's language, lowly, attending to all their ills and troubles, and you will find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. When they come to study at the Bible college, if you go to a modern seminary, it will be a very heavy burden. Many things you do not know in the language of philosophy. But when you come to the Bible college that teaches the truth, we make it so simple that you enjoy all the wonderful, deeper knowledge of theology. Today, the Lord warns against the modernists, the liberals, the intellectuals, so-called, but they reject the truth. But He also has an offer to us who are humble and you come to Him. What is your reaction when He offers you this rest, this salvation? Here is another trouble. There are those who come to church and they think, yes, I'd like to go to Life Church because it is a beautiful church and, well, there are more educated people there and so forth. And they come with the idea that God is patting them on the back. I can work my way to salvation because I have been a good citizen. I did not break any law. I live a decent life. I give money to the church. And I do charity whenever there is a need. I should be quite all right. There should be no fault found with me. And finally, when they come to the baptism, I'm doing the church a favor. That sort of a mentality will never get you to heaven. This is another extreme. But we must all come repenting of our sins. As Jesus said, the people of Chorazin, of Bethsaida, and of Capernaum, they repented not of their sins. When they come before a great God, the Almighty, the All-Knowing, the One who changes not, we can only humble ourselves and bow to Him every word. And you say, amen, amen, when the preacher is expounding the Word of God. Here is the onerous duty of every preacher from this pulpit. He must not say things out of his own heart, but he must interpret it aright and say it in the Spirit of Jesus. And when he has told you the truth, you must say, amen. Lord, I repent. But if you say otherwise, it will be very dangerous. Thank God today, the proud Jesus will cast down all these leaders of the church, of the Jews and of present day, all those intellectual leaders of America in seminaries and Bible colleges, but they have led more and more to the errors from time immemorial. That those of us who are humble and we come before Him with a contrite heart, Jesus will pardon and He will save. Let us pray. We thank Thee, our loving Heavenly Father, that You have blessed all the humble. Bless us now, we pray. And we pray Thee to defend Thy church against those intellectuals, but they have resisted the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.